What's it? I want you to join me. Join me in crying out to God, asking God to move. And I'm going to ask you to participate. And I think you'll know when I want you to participate. All right? So let's go. God, God, we come to you as your people, interceding and crying out on behalf of everyone who has lost a home or a loved one, everyone whose life feels like it's in disarray, people who feel they're full of despair right now. Oh my goodness, how can I move forward? Life is so chaotic. I can't take it anymore. So God, we hear people at Church on the Hill, we're crying out to you. We are crying out to you and we're asking God, God, please, you guys begin filling in the blanks. God, please, shout it out. What do you want God to do? Oh God, please, we're asking, breathe new life, new hope, where there doesn't appear to be any. Up from your ashes, we just sang about that truth. You bring hope. Oh God, may we be a people of hope. And my phone is blowing up with churches around our state talking about how God is moving. Oh, I pray for that city official who reached out to Med for New Life and said, hey, I haven't been to church in 6 years, but the way that you guys are showing Jesus, I want some of that. Oh God, may you raise up your church in a time like this so people can see and feel and experience your love and your mercy, God. Oh, Brookings, oh my goodness, people are actually being physically healed as we speak. I mean, I don't know what you're doing, God, but keep doing it. Keep moving in Lincoln City. Keep moving in Newport Naz, God. Oh God, keep moving in the Dalles. Keep moving in Clackamas County. God, keep moving in the whole Santee Annum area, God. Oh God, please, may we be your church. May we be your people during this time. Oh, may more and more people come to know you. Oh yes, God, find new life in you. That is our prayer. Please, God, move, rain, breathe fresh air. In your mighty name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. And for all those who are joining online this morning, we say welcome. We say welcome to our brothers and sisters in Christ at Silverton Naz, at Oregon City Naz, at the Dalles. I at least know you guys are joining us and anybody else that may be joining us online, our people, wherever you may be here in Yamhill County. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the presence of God. I hope you feel it, I hope you experience it, and I hope that you are transformed by it today. I have three commitments I want to ask of you, those of you who are going to join us on this God story adventure. And these three commitments are these. Will you commit, at least through the end of the year, will you commit to joining in community worship here in person or online? Will you commit, as we work through this God story, will you commit to letting God move in your life every Sunday? Number two, will you commit to joining and being a part of some life group? And it doesn't have to be big. It could just be a couple of you just gathering around and walking through and going to a deeper place in God's word as we walk through God's story. We will provide you with questions and things to wrestle with as you understand this God who has created everything. And then the third commitment that I'm asking you to make is each week, I want you to make something better. I want you to make this world a more godly place. I don't care if it's in your relationships, at work, in your neighborhood. It doesn't matter. Those three here, gathered people on Sunday, small group with me. And then let's make this world a better place. We're making something better. Are you guys with me here? All right, God, we're asking, move. Move. So I want to begin this way. I want to set things up before we go into our worship experience. And so for the next 9 months, can you say 9 months with me? All right, I want to make sure you understand. It's the next 9 months. We are going to explore God's story so that we can understand who God is, how God set things up so that we can see ourselves in God's story and then invite other people to join in with us. And God's storyline can be summarized this way. You'll hear me say this a lot. If you want to take a picture of it, own it, know it, and then interpret everything through it. Number one, God created the universe and everything in it. It all starts there. Number two, this is how God set things up. God created us to live in right relationship with God, with each other, and with our surrounding world. We call that, some of us call that, and the Bible calls that, that's what God's kingdom is all about. That's God's kingdom. Okay? Number three, we chose for whatever reason to break relationship with God, with each other, and with our surrounding world. I think we all can confess that, right? That's called rejecting God's kingdom. And then number four, in response, God, instead of choosing to obliterate us, chose to initiate reconciliation with us. And we see this choice expressed in these stories that we're going to look at. God always comes, no, come on back. No, come on back to me. In this choice of reconciliation, we see ultimately in God sending God's self in the person of Jesus Christ. Who did what? Well, who showed us how to live a life of obedience to God in the flesh. Who then paid the price for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. And then who rose victorious over sin and death so that whoever believes in him, and I love that phrase, it's whoever gives him their complete allegiance, whoever goes all in will not die forever, that is, be separated from God forever. That's what we call hell. But instead, we'll have eternal life, that is, we'll live in a right relationship with God and everyone else who's fallen God forever. That's a good thing. Every part of the Bible, every story, every event, every character, every command, every instruction, every poem, every proverb, every prophecy is about God and God trying to bring people like you and me back into right relationship with God. And as we keep this storyline of reconciliation at the forefront of our mind, these stories that we're going to read, they become more real to us because we start to see ourselves in these stories, stories like Adam and Eve, stories like Cain and Abel, stories like Noah, stories like the Tower of Babel, stories like Abraham and Sarah. And we begin to see how we fit within God's story of reconciliation. Are you with me so far? And so just to make clear, God's story begins with, well, God. God is the subject of life. God is the foundation of life. That's why I love our discipleship-making vision so much, because it is God-centered and God-focused. We want to help people, if you're new, just so you know, we want to help people come to know this God. Why? Because it is God that does the saving, not us. We want to help people find freedom. Why? Because it's God who does the freeing, not us. We want to help people discover purpose. Why? Because it's God who gives us our God-given purpose, not us. And then we want to help people play their role in God's story. Why? Because how can we not live for the glory of God in everything we do? How can we not just turn back and say, everything we do, God, is worship to you in my playing, in my working, in my recreating, in whatever. I want to give glory to you in whatever I do. Are you guys with me this morning? Oh my goodness, it's all about God. It's not God at the margins. It's not God at the edges. It's not God as an option. It definitely isn't God just on Sundays. It's God at the center of our lives. It's God first. It's God last. It's God, 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 God. I was hoping that you guys would join in with me at some point in time. I think you're getting the point, right? In Genesis, and we're going to be in Genesis for the first few months here. Genesis gets us off on the right foot. The Genesis pulls us into a reality, and it's a real reality that is God-filled and God-centered. Genesis gives us a vocabulary for speaking accurately and comprehensively about who God is, about who we are, where we came from and where we're going, about how we think and why we think the way we think. It gives us a vocabulary for speaking accurately and comprehensively about the people in our lives and how we are to live life with them. And it helps us understand our troubles that we may find ourselves in, like right now, and why God continues to bless us the way God does. Genesis uses words, and words are so powerful. Genesis uses words to give us a foundation that is solid and true. And in doing so, Genesis makes it very clear that we do not build or construct that foundation. That foundation is a given. Why? Because that foundation has been constructed and built by God. And so at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus says we have two choices. And as we go through this God story, I want you to know that we will constantly be asking you to choose which way you're going to go, because there's only two ways to go, the ungodly way or the godly way. The ungodly way or the godly way. That's it. I want you to start analyzing your life that way. Am I going the godly way, ungodly way, or am I going the godly way? Which way is it? God, help me to discern and then give me the courage to go the godly way. Are you guys with me? So Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, he says that you can build your life on two foundations. It's your choice. You can build it on the foundation of sand, or you can build it on the foundation of the rock. And no matter how good we may be in building and constructing our lives. And some of us are very good at building and constructing our lives. Some of, at least in this country, where we have so many freedoms, and you can get the right trade, be an electrician or a plumber or whatever, and you can construct a pretty good life. You can go into a right particular field. You got the freedom to do it. You can live a certain way in this country. You can, if you live below your means, you can have a nice car. You can actually have a car. A house, maybe save retirement. I mean, you can construct your life in a pretty good way in this country, but if it is constructed on the sand foundation, it will, no ands, ifs, or buts about it, it will come crashing down like a house of cards at some point in time. Thus, we must build our lives. We must construct our lives on the rock. The rock being God. God's way of living. And we'll get into what that means. With God kingdom attitudes. These are the fruits of the Spirit talked about in Galatians chapter 5. We are to live with Jesus kind of love. Do you guys know what I'm talking? You've heard me say this. I hope that you start to like actually embrace and can say it to other people too, because this world has this warped view of what love is. Now, I'm talking about Jesus kind of love. That is a love of sacrifice for the sake of someone else. That is a love of action for the benefit of someone else. That's a love of forgiveness that lets go of all past wrongs. These kingdom attitudes, it's peace and joy and kindness. Don't you think our world needs a little bit more of that? Sure, someone can act kind, right? You can show kindness to someone, but are you really a kind person? You can be gentle every once in a while, but are you a gentle, that's what we're talking about. Are you a gentle person? That's what the Spirit does to you. Are you with me? And if you have any questions about that, if you have kids, just ask them. They'll tell you whether you're kind or gentle. Goodness. Patience, faithfulness. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful attitude. I'm just not faithful to my wife when it's easy. I'm faithful to her during the tough times. My word is my word. Oh, and self-control. And I think you all agree that our world could use a little bit more self-control. Are you with me? And so I'm going to say it this way, and it's going to be strong language. And I'm going to probably say it a few different times during this series. I defy you. That's the strong language. Defy. I defy you to show me a better way than God's way. And if you can, ask me to join you. So if you're out there seeking, trying to figure out life, if you're sitting here trying to say, what's the best way to live? I want to tell you right here, right now, it's God's way. Come join me on this journey. I defy you to show me a better way. And so therefore, as Christians, we shouldn't be like, oh my goodness, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. No, it should be like, hey, I'm a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of this God who's created everything. And this is a beautiful way to live. I'll tell you about peace and love in the God sense. I'll interpret that for you. Show me a better, we should be challenging people. Show me a better way. People are looking for that. We need to speak up and we need to live it. Are you guys with me this morning? What I love about Genesis, and again, we're going to be in Genesis for a bit, is that Genesis doesn't talk about God's way in abstract or bloodless, that is non-relational truths and principles. Just something, you should do that. No, it doesn't do that. It talks about God's way in story form. Series of stories with named people. People who loved and quarreled. People who believed and doubted. People who got married and had kids. People who experienced sin and grace, people like you and me. And the stories, these stories show us that we are never outsiders or spectators to anything involving God's story. We're not. We're in it. God works with us where we are and where God finds us, and then God does the changing because it's all about God. Are you with me here? No matter what we do. So if you're not a God follower, I don't say it. No matter what you do, good or bad, no one drops out of God's story. Because there's no place to drop to. Because in God's story, there's two endpoints, heaven or hell. It's going to be one or the other. Are you guys with me this morning? So can we start at the beginning today? Genesis chapter 1. And I really want to encourage you to bring your Bibles with you over this series so you can write and circle and mark. And before we begin in Genesis 1, will you stand with me and just today, let's just call on the name of